Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna.
Jaguars This Week,
with the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, color analyst Jeff Lugeman, Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher, and some guy named Tony Boselli.
Who?
Inconceivable!
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Let the deliberations begin.
You can't handle the truth.
Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome to Jaguars This Week, live from Jaguar Central at Everbank Field. Now, last week, before we left the airwaves, we told you that this week we would be at latitude 30.
When are we bowling? Where's the bowling lanes?
That obviously has not happened, and we need to decide whose fault that is, don't we?
Well,
the rumor I've heard,
and I can't confirm it, is that Logman lobbied hard that we are here because he was fearful of what would happen on the bowling lanes.
I thought maybe they had all-you-could-eat night last night, and you just went.
No.
What are you going to do when John Osher?
He was fearful of the beatdown on the lanes
you
that was going to come.
Man, I hope you're a good bowler because last week we established I'm on your team.
Don't worry.
Don't sleep on Johnny yet.
Don't worry.
Don't sleep. All right, so we will be there next week, ladies and gentlemen. Right, Joe?
Allegedly.
Hi, how you doing? No, we'll be there
next week.
Yeah,
we'll be there next
week. Next week's going to happen.
Technical difficulties.
No, don't say that on the air.
Okay.
Just trust me.
I didn't say that.
Nope. We'll be there next week. That's what we do.
Sorry, Joe.
All right.
Forgive me.
You've got to be real careful.
I did it.
Tony hadn't learned the rules of Joe yet.
Oh, yeah. And there's one more thing. These cards that I read.
Don't write on them.
Don't write on them.
Give me a pen and give me those cards.
Yeah. I'm just saying you don't want to offend the family. So here we go.
Open the week.
355-NFL-1 is the number. You know it. 800-355-6351. If you're listening over the internet this evening, we got a full house in here. Somebody said food is coming. Latitude 30. So hopefully that is coming. Thank you, Latitude 30.
Please.
Tony's hungry. Thank you, Latitude 30, which is where we'll be next week. Okay. We've hit that hard and fast. Opening week, Jaguars in Minnesota. We've got a lot to talk about with that game. Injury report is out. What stands out to you, Jeff, Tony, John, as you look at this week's injury report? Let me read it real quick. I have the early version. Austin Lane, foot, did not participate. Brad Meester, not injury-related, did not participate. Aaron Morgan, not injury-related, did not participate. George Selvey, knee, did not participate. Uche Nwaneri, limited with the ankle. Justin Blackman, limited with the ankle. Derek Cox, with his hamstring, limited. And Mike Harris with his hamstring limited. So there's the injury report for the Jaguars. What stands out to you?
Well, I mean, the three guys that you're expecting to play, and that's, you know, or hoping they would play, and that's Uche Nwaneri, limited. You know, he had that against the Atlanta Falcons. Justin Blackman, ankle. You know, you kind of go, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah, I have not heard that that's anything major. But
you still, I mean, sure. You take note.
He worked, right. He worked today and he did practice just to take all of his reps.
Derek Cox, you know, the first game against the Giants, I think like the fourth play of the game, mm-hmm. pulled up what appeared to be a hamstring. And
it doesn't sound like they're counting on Derek.
Yeah, so I don't know about Derek Cox, but if he doesn't play, then I guess it's going to be Will Middleton.
It'll be Will Middleton and Aaron Ross starting with Rasheen at the nickel.
And if there was a good week to not have Derek Cox,
sure.
You know, the Minnesota Vikings do not have Jerome Simpson. Who is one of their big play wide receivers along with Percy Harvin. And, yeah, Johnny O's giving the old signal there, and that Jerome Simpson likes the weed.
Well, and he did last year. What, did he have, like 6 pounds of it delivered to his apartment?
Yeah. Hey, can you FedEx me some dope? And he got busted. So he's got a one-game suspension.
Is it one or three?
I think it's one.
Yeah, doesn't matter. Sure. It's one as far as the Jaguars.
It's this one.
It's for the season as far as the Jaguars are concerned.
Right, exactly.
So, Brad Meester being on there, that's just, you know, he's in his, 13th year now, trying to take care of Brad. They did it all through training camp. Yeah. No big deal there. But there was a time a few years ago against the Minnesota Vikings that Brad Meester had a snap he'd like to forget.
You're talking about 08 here.
Uh-huh.
First snap of the game.
You remember that?
No, I do remember it because it set up a touchdown. Or was it returned? It was returned for a touchdown.
Well,
we couldn't even tell that the ball had been snapped because they were so deep in their own territory.
You weren't here, John.
I was not here.
first offensive play of the game, Brad Meester, I guess it was, who was the quarterback, David, or was it Byron Leftwich?
No, it was 08, so it was David.
It was David. David's in the shotgun, calls for the snap, and Brad hikes it to his rear end like quarterbacks under center. Probably one of the most embarrassing moments that Brad Meester will ever have in his lifetime.
And
would
it was,
like to forget.
It was returned for a touchdown, and then there was a fumble on the ensuing kickoff. Brian Witherspoon fumbled, if you remember.
Taken in for a touchdown.
And that then turned into a 3-yard touchdown run. So before you knew it, I mean, they were down 17 to nothing in the span of just a few minutes.
Yeah, that was what you call a rough start.
But back to the injuries. The biggest injury on that list that concerns me, that I think affects the game the most, is Uche Nwonare.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most concerning. If you look at the strength of this Vikings team, it is their defensive front. I don't think they're a very good team overall. They have one playmaker on offense. I think Adrian Peterson will be a shell of himself. And so you look at their strength, and if Uche cannot go, you either slide Josh Beekman in there at right guard or put Cam Bradfield down to right guard with Guy Wimper at the right tackle. Whatever it does, it weakens your unit against their best unit. And on the road, noise will be an issue.
The yaller horn?
That's the biggest concern. That right there, that one injury. The rest of them, obviously you want all your guys out there, but I think you're okay.
Well, Uche is one of your best offensive linemen. You've been throughout basically the most of the preseason without Derek Cox, you know, so you can handle it there. The good news is, from the Jaguars' standpoint, Darryl Smith is not on the injury report, who did not play in the preseason at all, so that's good for the Jaguars.
Now, Mike talked some about Darryl today. It sounds like Darryl will definitely start, and he's not really injured, but much like Rasheen Mathis, they're going to monitor what's going on there, and it wouldn't surprise you to see Darryl have some snaps off. He didn't say that, but the way he said it, he sort of lumped it in with Rasheen, who clearly is not ready to go all, 55, 60 plays. So it wouldn't surprise you to see Darryl take some plays off in situations.
And hopefully it is only 55, 60 plays, and that means you're running the football
sure.
And eating up some game clock and keeping your defense off the field, because if it gets up into that 75, 80 range, which I've been in a few games like that mm-hmm. before, then you're very concerned about a Darryl Smith who's coming off of a soft
right.
tissue injury.
Which
I guess it was growing.
Right.
Yes.
That leads us to their ability to control the ball that much. Adrian Peterson, limited in his participation today. That's been the story up there, since January. And then they came back in April, and he said, I'm going to play against Jacksonville on opening day. A couple of very well-written stories about the decision that Leslie Frazier has to make. You're talking about a guy 8 months removed from ACL surgery. He also tore the MCL and had the meniscus in the knee. And he's a guy that you're counting on. They gave $100 million in a contract to last year. You can't make the decision for one game for a team that went 3-13 and is not headed to the Super Bowl this year.
No, and Leslie Frazier, I think, said it right in his press conference this week when he talked about how, dealing with Adrian Peterson is a little different than you would deal with an injury with anybody else, because he is pretty much the face of the franchise and he's a premier back. So, I'm with Tony that if he does play, I don't expect him to be the Adrian Peterson of old, and if he is, I'll be shocked.
Yeah, and I think I covered him. I've seen him play in person once, probably the same year you guys did, 2008. And I just remember it was early in the season. It was in the Metrodome. And I've never seen a back as impressive as he was that day in terms of, being able to pull away, in terms of just – being a man among boys, if you will. I don't see any way that he could be anything close to that coming off the seriousness of that injury.
What I'm thinking? If he's on the field and I'm a defender, I am thinking strip the ball all day long, because he's had a history of that early mm-hmm. in his career.
Yes.
And he hasn't had really any live contact yet. And so if he gets the ball and I'm a defender, I'm going for the ball.
And I don't care how healed his knee is. The mental aspect is going to be there with an ACL, making cuts, having contact around you, and Jeff's exactly right.
I'd hit him low.
He is going to be conscious of who's hitting him.
Every time.
And Jeff, this is Denver. If a guy's worried about getting hit, what's loose? That ball is all over
mm-hmm.
the place. And there's
that's what I meant earlier. When you saw him play before, the last thing he was thinking about was getting a hit. I mean, what a naturally strong, physical, gifted guy, and gave everything he had on every play. There's no way that you would think he could do that.
Not early. I think he will this year. I think he'll be back to that.
This year, you think?
Yeah, I do.
The confidence comes back in the knee this year?
I think by the second half, I think he's back to that.
Right. I don't know. That's still early.
With two torn ligaments.
That's still early. And I'm not trying to be, you know, the former defensive coordinator of the New Orleans Saints here, but I would. I would test his confidence. You got to hit him low.
It's different than playing that left tackle spot. You need a little more time to come back.
Okay. I think by the second half, he'll be, which we don't care about because we're not playing in the second half.
All right, we got a lot to talk about tonight. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. The NFL season kicks off in a little more than 2 hours. We'll talk about the Giants, the Cowboys, the Jaguars, the Vikings, and anything else that's on your mind. As always, at Tony Boselli, at John Osier, at Jags Voice, and at Joe Fortunato.
Thank you, Brian Sexton. Visit Sonny's today and try their new barbecue baskets. The slow-smoked, pulled, and sliced meats basket for just $7.99, or for just a little more, choose between two other mouth-watering baskets. Sonny is the first name in barbecue. First name in Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, returns on... Well, Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta.
All right, here we go. Jaguars and Vikings. It is a 1 o'clock kickoff here in Jacksonville. Actually, it's in Minnesota, but it's 1 o'clock back here, which means that we begin things at 10 a.m. with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. Pregame at noon, kickoff at 1. Winn-Dixie postgame show, Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show to follow all on Sunday. Opening day against the Vikings. What else stands out to you guys?
Well, the last thing you want to hear is that, and I never knew this until today, and Brian, you did, but that Vikings horn.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Can we get a sound effect on that, maybe?
No, I hate that horn.
Okay.
I do too.
It's called the Yaller horn. I never knew that there was actually a name for it. I just thought it was a horn.
Boy, it's annoying.
I call it the annoying horn.
I had a guy.
Boy, we heard that a lot.
According to Norse, Norse mythology, it is a mystical horn. I guess that calls up the pagan gods or something like that.
Oh, great.
I had somebody tell me before we went there in 98, if you hear that horn, it means you're getting your butt kicked.
He called up Randy Moss again and again and again.
Yeah, I was gonna say, we heard it a few times.
Boselli doesn't see the humor.
I find nothing funny about that at all.
Two things you don't want to have happen is to hear the horn, and number two, have the roof fall in.
John Randall was snorting that night.
Yeah, that was no fun.
That was a great Vikings team.
Yeah, it really
15
was.
15-1, broke the Redskins' record for most points scored in a single.
That was John Quinn.
John Quinn.
Woo!
That was a long plane ride home too.
But you guys clinched the playoff berth.
I think we had our third string.
Yeah, before clock in the afternoon when
I think
the,
our third
Packers
string quarter, third string running, third string quarterback, and like second team. I don't think Fred played either.
It was close at half.
24-7, right?
Yeah, it wasn't. They weren't out of it.
Yeah, we were. we were out of it.
That was one long night. Just leave it at that. All right, so we covered Adrian Peterson. Just a couple more guys. How about this matchup with Andre Branch and Matt Khalil? How do you see that one working? Fourth pick overall in the draft, Jaguars second-round pick, rookie.
I would move – I mean, obviously you're going to have Andre over there, but I would give Jeremy Mincy a heavy dose against Matt Khalil. Jeremy Mincy is one of the more physical defensive ends in the game. He is a – guy who can make a tackle's night miserable because he does not quit and does not stop. And I would put him over there and go test the resolve of the rookie. And I would put him over there early. And Jeremy will do without you telling him, and have Jeremy hit him right in the mouth about three plays in a row and see what he is made of.
That's a much better matchup for Jeremy. It's
well, the
293.
Reason Tony's saying that, and I watched the four preseason game that the Vikings had this year, and Khalil, Matt Khalil, plays light.
Very athletic, but very light.
Yeah, he's very quick. He's got good pass sets. He's got good hands. But he looks, you know, when you watch him on tape, you go, boy, he needs to put on another 25 pounds.
Yep.
And that's your impression of him. And, yeah, Mincy could end up, you know, bringing a physical style to him, and that could be interesting. It will be interesting to see if they do that, because typically when they go to their sub in regular package, Mincy's left, Andre Branch is right. And then when they go to sub, which is their nickel rush group, You end up having Mincy kicking down to the inside, and then Aaron Morgan comes in at right end. Andre Branch has been at left end. But, you know, that was preseason. This is regular season. This is when you start to deal with individual matchups to where you think you can get the best situation. So I would not be surprised, as Tony said, if they put Mincy over on Khalil.
How are they going to rotate this defensive front? I mean, C.J. Mosley still listed as the starter. Terrence Knighton appears to, you know, be working his way back into it. How do you handle these guys? Well, and what about DeAnthony Smith?
I think one of the you'll have probably four tackles up for sure, just because you've got the issue with Austin Lane and George Selvey. And because you really don't have another true left defensive end, Tyson Alualu or DeAnthony Smith may kick over and play left end. I'm guessing because Tyson Alualu has done it in the past for this football team when they've had injuries with Campman.
Yeah, I think you'll see DeAnthony do it. You know, Mike said today they will rotate defensive tackles out to defensive end. He said there was no particular order on that, but it makes sense that it would be Alualu and Smith. Those seems to be the guys who could do that the easiest.
Hey, Jeff, what year or when did the rotation of the defensive line become so prevalent? I mean,
that was Jimmy Johnson.
That was all Jimmy Johnson. That came in 89, 90 when he started getting many bodies active on game day.
I think I heard they had 19 guys they rotated on the defensive side regularly.
You know, and then when Jimmy did it in 89, 90 and they were having success as a defense, you know, we started doing more of that in 1990 under Pete Carroll where we had a rotation as well.
But I just remember even when I played against the better players, I mean, they never came out. I mean, Bruce Smith played every snap. Michael McCrary played every snap. Derek Thomas played every snap.
Well, you got.
I mean, they never came out.
They never came out.
Well, they didn't play every snap.
They didn't play every snap. One did.
Michael McCrary did.
Michael McCrary played every down.
Michael McCrary would play 70 snaps and not take a break. And if he took a break, it was like two plays.
Whereas Bruce Smith, if the play was a run and it went away, he'd be jogging.
But he was on the field every. But my point is, you don't see that anymore. Rarely.
Not very often.
Jared Allen's a guy who'll play every snap with just about.
No, he's gotten breathers too.
Has he?
Yeah, they bring in Everson Griffin,
a guy.
They typically give him like a series off in the first half and then also at some point in the second half.
But for today's defensive ends, he plays more than most.
Yes. You know, the Jaguars are going to have their ends play more than most, I think.
This week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see them, even when they get, you know, when they get Austin Lane back, I see them rotating the three of them, Austin Lane and Mincy, and then Mincy will play left and right and give Andre Branch a break, you know, so Mincy will start at left, but then he'll be able to play on either side.
Well, that's a guy, Austin Lane, that they really need to get back. I mean, he was having a good camp, big, strong.
He was
strong,
out of the boot today, and he was at practice today for the first time since I can remember, but he didn't actually participate, but he was out there, so it looks like I saw him walk in the hallway, I forget when, maybe yesterday. And it looked, you know, no limp, looked good. So,
and he had crutches last week when he was at the Jaguars kickoff luncheon. So.
Yeah. Now, if they end up, you know, this matchup against the Vikings front, I feel pretty good about, you know, with a rookie left tackle, a right tackle, and his name is Phil Loadholt.
He's a load.
He's a big dude. I mean, he's 6'8". Looks like he's not a fat guy. But he's a real long guy.
340.
He's got to have 39, 40-inch sleeve length. But
he doesn't move great.
But he's not agile. You know, so what Tony was talking about, you know, so maybe they have Mincy at right and then Aaron Morgan and also Andre Branch go over against Loadholt to get a little bit more speed. So that's going to be fun to watch. And that's what I love about the regular season, because in the preseason, you never see that kind of stuff. You know, you start to see now coaches put game plans together specifically about matchups, and this is where it shows through, is when you get, you know, you start evaluating individuals. Where can we beat an individual?
Well, so much of preseason, too, for this team was about finding out what they could and couldn't do well. And now that they know that, I think you'll see them cater to their strengths, especially on defense.
All right. We've hit the bottom of the hour. That means news from the folks over at News Talk WOKV. And that means Joe Fortunato sends us to commercial break.
Gang, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. We'll continue right here on Jaguars Radio. Well, season ticket owners, the Jaguars Refer a Fan program is designed to put money in your pocket. All you got to do is refer friends to become Jaguars multi-year season ticket owners in return for a cash referral fee. For more info on joining the Refer a Fan program, just call the Jaguars ticket office, 904-633-2000, or visit jaguars.com.
All right, here we go. Second half hour of 2 hours this evening. We will be at Latitude 30 across from the Avenues Mall next Wednesday night for Jaguars This Week.
Talking about this game, Jeff, what's the number one matchup you're looking for Sunday? I know one I'm going to be watching.
Well, I mean, the one that's going to be talked about more than anything is obviously everybody's going to say, well, it's Adrian Peterson, Maurice Jones-Drew. And then the second one most people will go to is Christian Pond or Blaine Gabbert. And they're not facing off.
Those aren't early matchups.
No. Those aren't even moving the needle for me.
No. The true matchup is Eugene Monroe versus Jared Allen.
It's the one and only.
And
it's the best matchup of the weekend. And for this team.
A new feature that's going to be on Jaguars.com starting weekly. And it will start this Friday. It's called Film Room Friday, and I will take you into the film room much like we do on Monday night's Jaguars All Access show. And this week it's all about that matchup, Jared Allen versus Eugene Monroe.
All right, so break it down slightly for us. Don't give it all away.
Well, we've got four plays that we show. One of them is actually it's a lot of teaching about defensive line and what the alignments are, what we call them, and then a little game in which Jared Allen is a five technique. He's got a shaded nose on that side, and the linebacker comes in and chips the tackle and then comes around him, which I can't remember the name that we used to call that. But he has that play.
I called it cheating, but go ahead.
It's not cheating. It's all legal. And the other one is just – one of them is just pure athleticism. Another one's effort. But what really stunned me was looking at Jared Allen's numbers. You know, because, you know, we don't get to see Jared Allen. I think the last time – we saw him was 08.
Yeah, he was here.
But he hadn't had a chance to really amass the numbers yet. You know, he's in his ninth year now, and in those eight years that he's already played, he has 105 career sacks. And I don't know if anyone in the history of the game has averaged more than 14 sacks a season.
Well, he's the second guy to do it three consecutive seasons.
Yes. But I'm talking he's averaging over 14 sacks a year. Are you kidding me? Last year he had 22?
Well, since 2000.
On a bad team.
Since he came into the league, those 105 sacks he came in 2004 are the most.
Well, you would think on a team that's struggling offensively, which they were last year.
It's really hard to get 22
sacks.
And they were never ahead.
No.
I mean.
And they had 50 sacks as the defense. I mean, that's – so check it out, folks, Jaguars.com,
now,
Film Room Friday.
And not to talk down Jared Allen, but he has greatly helped out, and he has the entire time he's been in Minnesota because Kevin Williams used to be the Pat Williams and Kevin Williams, and Kevin Williams is still there. And because of that, it is difficult to get a guard out and slide to Jared Allen. Now, that doesn't stop backs from chipping him, and he's an outstanding player, but Kevin Williams in that defensive – tandem of tackles is a big reason Jared Allen has put up those numbers. The way they – and you know this, Jeff, as a defensive end. The way they push the pocket and have pushed the pocket, it makes it very difficult for quarterbacks to step up. It makes it much easier for Jared Allen to get there. I think Jared Allen's an outstanding player. I don't think he's the best defensive end or best pass rusher in football. He might have the best numbers. I think numbers can be a little bit not misleading. He's one of the best ones, but he is a.
Who would you put ahead of him?
Oh, I think Dwight Freeney is a much better pass rusher than Jared Allen. Much better.
I disagree with that.
Oh gosh, it's not even close.
How about Terrell Suggs?
Terrell Suggs. I'll say this: the way I look at it, is guys who I'd rather play against.
Yeah, I know you'd rather play against.
I'd play against Jared Allen all day long. I think Jared Allen's a good player, but I think if you match Jared Allen's effort, then you block him.
Then Freeney has that something special, but to me,
Jared Allen, there's not a move that I go into the game going, oh gosh, that's gonna be hard to stop. If I'm game planning Dwight Freeney, he has a move that I know that even if I do everything right, I might not stop that spin move because of what he can do with the power and the speed. Jared Allen he's a great football player. I mean, you don't put up 105 sacks for nothing. I think he's assisted because of the push, and I think he's assisted because of the great effort, which is part of it. He plays the game the right way. He is tough. He's physical. He gets after you. And if you don't finish to the whistle, then he's gonna beat you.
All right. I love the guy personally.
I do too.
Just because you
love
know,
how he plays.
he came from a checkered past in Kansas City where he was considered DUIs, a risk for the Minnesota Vikings to sign. He had DUI issues, but he's cleaned himself up. He does a lot of things in building homes for our veterans. And he's got a little quirkiness to him.
Oh, yeah.
If you've ever YouTubed Jared Allen or just watched different shows that he's popped up on, in fact, one time I saw that he was at a charity event that was raising money to build homes for veterans, and he put on a golf tournament. But it wasn't a regular golf tournament. It was a night ops golf tournament where they played with night vision goggles.
He's a great guy.
I mean, it's hilarious stuff.
And so I don't want to talk down that he's not a great player, but I think if
you made a point,
if I'm Eugene Monroe and I'm talking to him, he has to go and approach this game that I'm going to have to play every snap and I'm going to have to finish every play because the guy is going to come and
it's a brown bag game.
It is a brown bag. It's a bring your lunch pail, hard hat game. And Jared Allen's is a guy, even if you block him and stop his first move, he's in a counter, and he's going to keep on going. And if the quarterback has to hold the ball, which is amazing at 22 because of the worst secondary in football.
Right.
I mean, that's what's amazing.
Right, that's what's amazing about his year.
About his year last year. Maybe one of the best years ever that we've seen. But he is going to continue to chase. He's going to get into plays. And he is more athletic than he gets credit for.
It was interesting. Mike Mularkey said today, and I'm reading off a transcript from his press conference, team slice him, cut him, chip him, chop him, double team him, whack him, slam him, every term you can use. A couple of questions later, somebody said, well, what will you do? He said, well, we're going to try all that.
Right.
That's kind of how, that's how they're going to approach Jared Allen.
But since you were talking about the best pass rushers, did you see where Mathias Kiwanuka told the New York press that he believed that Jason Pierre-Paul would obliterate Strahan's record?
He may.
30-sack guy. Just your thoughts on best pass rushers. Does Pierre-Paul get your attention?
Oh, he's very good. He's a freak. The size, the length of his arms, the strength.
His athleticism.
His athleticism. Amazing. He's very good. I got to see more. He's another. I don't know if he has the best first step that I've seen, and I think great pass rushers have great first steps.
The thing that I haven't seen from him yet, that if you're going to be a great pass rusher, you've got to bring it every down.
Yeah, right.
I'm talking passing downs.
Right.
I don't know if he's quite there yet.
Yeah, he's a fabulous young player, but if you turn on the tape and watch these guys and watch the historic great pass rushers, and the guy, and he's probably not the best anymore, but I think in our generation, I think Dwight Freeney's the best pure pass rusher of what he could do. And it's his first step, his explosion off the ball.
Yeah, and see, and to me, I discount that a little bit. And the reason I say that is that they played a style in Indianapolis that nobody else in the league does. And that Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis were doing one thing on the snap. Rushing the passer.
Was significantly better than Mathis.
I know. I'm not trying to compare the two of them.
I don't think Mathis could have played anywhere. Freeney could have played anywhere.
I'm just saying is that the way they played the game, they never played run. Their belief under John Teerlink, their defensive line coach, and that philosophy was they were rushing the passer down.
If that's the case, then you have to throw John Randall. Then John Randall's not very good either because John Randall played under Teerlink, and that's all he did is rush the passer.
Yeah, but his awareness was a little different, whereas Dwight Freeney was all about rushing the quarterback. And if it was what was the draw you call where you just wheeled on the defensive end? He didn't care.
Yeah, but, Jeff, every great pass rusher I played against, that draw was there to their side.
Well, see, Michael Strahan has the single season sack record, and he was one of the best run playing defensive ends in the league.
He was also a left end.
Yes.
And in this league, especially when he was typically the right tackle, was not the better pass blocking tackle, and it was a different. I'm not taking anything away from him. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a great player. I'm just saying every great pass rusher I played against, I don't think it's a fair thing to say about Dwight. Every one of them, you had that throw. You could run that draw at him. I'll say the best at defending it, that was a good pass rusher, was McCrary.
Yeah.
He was the best at it. He'd sit down quicker than any of them.
Because
he played so hard.
He cared about
about every play.
Yes.
And I think Jared Allen's like that. And that's what – I mean, and so don't get me wrong. I mean, Eugene Monroe has his work cut out. And if I was game planning, I would chip him, slice him, cut him. I would do all the things that Mularkey said. Just know that if you're a tackle playing him, if you make your mind up before you get there, that I'm going to finish and I'm going to block him through the whistle, you have a chance to have a day against
him. How will Eugene do against him?
I think he'll do great. You know, the last preseason game, there were two guys that really stood out to me on the offensive line. Number one being Josh Beekman. I think Josh Beekman played out of his mind. I mean, he ran for 225, and one of the big reasons why was Josh Beekman. And
played
Tony,
very well.
When you get a chance,
he
played
very well.
Holy cow. I mean, the guy.
That's why he's here.
He had some nasty in him now. The second one, and
by the way, he's one of the nicest guys I've ever met.
And then the second one, even though it was against twos and it wasn't John Abraham, I thought Eugene Monroe played very well. He was very sound fundamentally. And I know Tony sometimes gets frustrated with Eugene because he ducks his head at times. And
he's got much better this year.
He did not do it.
Yeah, well, I
one
actually,
play.
Fourth preseason game, as I was calling the game, I actually, when Eugene was in there, found myself, good or bad, just ISOing on him, watching him against Bierman and some. Listen, Bierman's a guy who plays.
Bierman looked like he was a scrub that was on a bubble.
But
two
so
years
everyone
ago.
Know, Bierman's a guy who gets sacks in the
season. Yes.
So he's not a scrub. And Eugene manhandled him. And his technique's as good as I've seen it. And Jeff's right, in the past, he kind of would duck. I think Eugene Monroe has a chance to go make a name for himself this week if he will make up his mind and get a little piss and vinegar in him and say, I'm going to try to bury him.
I'm going to beat him up.
I was going to ask that. Tony, so you have, is that that big a deal for him, this one game?
Yeah,
I can think of one game in Tony Baselli's career.
Yeah, I mean, without it,
I mean, Bruce Smith.
We get it.
But then you go back to the Sean Jones game.
Right.
I mean, people took notice of Tony because it was Sean Jones and because it was Bruce Smith.
Right. You have to.
Here's Eugene's opportunity. Jared Allen.
Yeah, Jeff's right. If you want to be considered a great tackle, or a great offensive lineman, and I'll just talk about tackle right now. It's not a position where you get stats. It's not a position where you're going to have flash plays. And so when you go against the best players that are considered, you have to be great. And this is an attitude, and I'll talk about when you play Michael McCrary, it was my attitude, or against any of the great players, I'm going to start a fight with him, and I'm going to try to kick his rear end. And it's going to be a fight the whole game. And he has to approach the game like that.
Let's hold that. I want to ask you about the offensive line. Now, if a month ago I would have told you that the week that Maurice Jones-Drew returns, we wouldn't talk about him until hour number two, what would you have said? Because we haven't even talked about
it. I would say
the
best player on the other team is the defensive lineman.
Yeah, well, there you go. Right. So we're going to talk a little bit more about the Jaguars' offensive line, and then we'll talk about Maurice in hour number two. Joe?
When you're looking for a department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. Six Jacksonville locations, Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, will return on Jaguars Radio.
All right, so here's the question in the last 5.5 minutes of the show. Answer it however you want. The Jaguars' offensive line will be a strength in 2012 if
Uche's healthy.
If they stay healthy, because I think the front line group is very good. I think Guy Wimper, very capable backup. Josh Beekman, I think, is a good backup inside. But, you know, you're probably not as strong because of some other injuries, obviously, with Rackley and Estes.
The Estes one hurts.
Yeah. I mean, you're not as strong as you could have been if you had everybody. But you still feel very – I mean, your frontline guys are all intact. You know, and if you look around the league, how many teams around the league don't have – or have issues with the offensive line. I think every team in the league does.
Right. You know, they're at a point where their five are very, very good. But when you lose Rackley, you lose Spitz, who was kind of their swing guy, and Estes, that's three guys who you – had guys gotten hurt, you could move around and survive. Now it's tougher.
And if Rackley didn't get hurt, maybe he could have been that swing guy because he did some center in training camp, would have been an upgrade to Jason Spitz.
I agree.
When if Rackley's not hurt, he allows you that if there's an injury outside, you can move Evan. You just have more options.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of flexibility.
And now you don't have much.
The roster cuts. Any surprises for you guys?
I was a little surprised Courtney Green got cut. I mean,
that was the only one that I
not
I,
shocked
when I read it. I was like, huh.
Yeah, I was a little surprised at that, but it wasn't unexpected.
Right.
In the last two games, the Baltimore game and the Atlanta game, there were a couple open field missed tackles that were not very pretty.
I think you had a choice, between keeping a young guy with potential,
Antoine Blake,
or a guy that you'd seen.
I mean, because Antoine Blake in the preseason showed that he was excelling on special teams. And because of your injury concerns at corner, you probably went more corner heavy than you might have if everybody was good to go. And I'm talking about Rasheen and Derek Cox. So, I mean, that one was a little bit surprising.
I was a little surprised that they kept six receivers. I mean, they haven't done that for a long time.
And who would be the guy that you thought might have been the one to go?
I thought Kevin Elliott made the team, so I thought Brian was going to be the – Robiski would have been the odd man out. I thought it was going to be a tough decision.
I think they're so comfortable with Brian, though.
He knows the offense so well. He's smart.
If somebody on the outside gets hurt, they don't feel like they would be just searching for somebody if you put Brian in there.
Well, and Robiski's numbers, I mean
– Oh, he had a great preseason.
Right.
12 for 137. I mean, that's pretty strong, and he had the touchdown.
Are all six active on game day?
I don't think so. I think you have five active.
Maybe this week because you only got two tight ends. You know, well, let me correct myself.
They brought Clardy back.
They got Colin Clardy back, so maybe they end up having three. So
I think they keep five, and I think Robiski's probably the guy that's not active because of what Kevin Elliott can do on special teams.
And see, I think if it's five, I think Cecil Shorts
could be.
That could be.
Because both Shorts and Robiski are guys that don't play special teams.
Well, the other thing is that
in terms of covering,
LaRon Robinson's backup is Robiski. Justin Blackman's backup is Mike Thomas. Mm-hmm. You know, so you've got some depth covered there. If you take Brian Robiski out on the depth chart, Kevin Elliott would be the next guy up, and I don't think you'd want to have him play in the starting role yet.
How did he play on special teams in that final game? Did he get
better? The first three, I think I told you guys that, you know, there hadn't been a wow yet. But the last game, he was better. Then, obviously, the big long touchdown catch, you know, helped.
Well, I thought he was a little stronger. I thought he was outstanding in the last preseason game. If you watched him, he made tackles. The difference in why talking to people, the difference was the first three, he was running and was fast and was down there but wasn't getting off and making things happen. And then it clicked that last preseason game where he was in the same positions – but now getting off blocks, moving, and making plays. I thought he was here all along, and I think he's sealed it without a doubt with his performance in the fourth preseason.
You know, the roster decisions aren't done yet.
No, they're not.
John, explain that to people.
Well, there's an exemption they have from Maurice that I believe runs out 4 p.m. Saturday, or it runs out later in the week, and they have to make one more move to get Maurice onto the team. So
it is. It's 4 p.m. Saturday. They have the
if they're going to activate
to
Maurice,
activate
which they
him.
Will.
And it'll be interesting to see where they go with that. I mean, we just talked about having six receivers instead of five. Do you just do it at the running back position because you have Maurice? It'll be interesting to see where they go.
And or do you release a different position that you're sure you can get back the next week once you know Maurice is ready? You know, because you might keep the running backs because you're not sure how.
Yeah, but if you
how much Maurice can go.
But that means you'd keep seven running backs up on game day. I don't see them doing that.
I don't either. I don't either.
I think it all comes down to who can contribute on special teams.
Just throwing it out there.
just throwing lobbing stuff out there.
And all right. One of the guys that might be in trouble could be a Brandon Marshall. You know, you don't know.
Linebacker. Yep. The rookie fifth round pick. All right. With that, we will throw it to news at News Talk WOKV for the top of the hour and come back with another hour. And I promise we'll talk about Maurice Jones-Drew, at least for a couple minutes. Joe? Oh. Back after this.
Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna.
Jaguars This Week.
With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst, Jeff Lugeman. Jaguars.com senior writer, John Osher. And some guy named Tony Boselli.
Who?
Inconceivable!
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Let the deliberations begin.
You can't handle the truth.
Here's Brian Sexton.
Actually, we could hold off on those deliberations. The guys from Latitude 30 just showed up with tuna.
I'll be back in 10 minutes.
Oh, we got a three-man show. It was a two-man show. Baselli is back. And
what are you eating, Baselli? What is that?
A buffalo chicken wrap. It is outstanding.
Well, I noticed that John climbed over the top of you to get to the door where those are.
And over Lagerman and Jeff.
Courtesy so the story of Latitude 30. And, we've got Philip.
Come here real quick.
From Latitude 30 with lots of food. And there's a rule in our studio. When you bring food, you're a friend.
What'd you bring us?
We brought everything from buffalo chicken wraps to sliders.
Oh, all where are the sliders?
That's on your other plate, Tony. Yeah, we'll go back and get it. We got
your other plate. That's in a truck somewhere.
That's not a plate. That's a platter.
A platter, excuse me. Ahi tuna is what we brought for you right there in front of you.
Mm-hmm. In front of me.
Coleslaw, sesame, ahi tuna appetizer. So we brought a little bit of everything just to make sure you guys weren't starving here in the studio.
Is Tony's trough in the hall?
I was close.
Good job. Baselli can't go more than about 8 minutes.
Well, actually, while we were out there opening them up, we didn't have everything open before Tony already had his plate set. So we can only imagine what's going to happen next week.
You don't
have
us near the kitchen, do you? The kitchen?
22 feet. So, I mean, not too bad. But we'll make sure we have great staff.
You know,
members
we have
for
a wire.
We're going to be like a buffet style, like lined up.
What if we put it right behind, you know, the studio where you guys are broadcasting from, so you just have to swivel your chairs?
Forget it.
Is that good?
Forget it. We got a wireless mic. Tony's going to be in the kitchen.
Just make sure that you feed Tony heavily when we have the bowling competition after the show.
Oh, and that's with the pink sparkly bowling ball. Is that correct?
Yes, the pink sparkly and the size 15 pink shoes to match for Tony. He likes
size
pink.
Size 15. Well, we have high heels, if that would be better.
That's even better.
We actually do have bowling shoes that are high heels. Amanda, we do, don't we?
Yeah. This has the makings of an event that could raise some money.
Hey, we supported 72 charities last year with Latitude Cares. So we've given a lot of money to charities. And so if... You know, the Jaguars this week
function,
show, that's
yeah.
right. Maybe we should do something and put it together with you guys.
Foundation we can give money to.
Wait. You surprised the name on that one.
Yeah.
You know, we may find a way to involve some listeners and invite them to come out and bowl at the end of, you know, the end of a show one night.
Yeah. Take on Kingpins, me and Baselli.
There we go. Well, we'd be honored to do that.
We'll have some fun with it.
We're really excited about you guys coming in and broadcasting live.
Official
next week.
Away game headquarters also, so you'll be stocked up on Sunday?
We'll be super stocked up. 1 o'clock, the Vikings game, right, if I'm correct.
Right.
And, very, very excited about that. Roar cheerleaders, Jackson DeVille. Curtis already said he'll be there, which we're excited about.
Who's Curtis?
Curtis. Oh, I don't know who Curtis is. Yeah, that
I think
crazy
he drives
man.
The cheerleaders.
That's right.
Jackson's handler.
He's Jackson's
handler. Yes,
he's
that's right.
Jackson's
he takes care of
him. There you go.
So, mascot operation.
What time do you open Sunday morning so folks can make plans?
11 a.m. is when we open on Sunday.
And just be clear, though, we're there every week, not just away.
Yeah,
game.
We're there every Wednesday.
We're there every Wednesday, but it's the official away game headquarters.
That's right. Thank you, Tony, for that clarification. So, yeah, we'll see you guys every Wednesday night. We're honored to have you. We can't wait, and we're ecstatic to have all those fans come out as
Let's
well, not just here, but also for all the away games as well as the home games here at the stadium.
So. Is your buffalo chicken wrap already gone, Baselli?
we'll get another play for you. We'll be right back.
Wait till Baselli brings his sons out. They're as big as he is.
Well, I hope you do bring your kids. The game room's going to be all cranked up, fired up, and the wives can watch a movie. They can do whatever they like. So we'll keep everybody busy.
We appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you.
Can we start
we'll
the show at 3 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yeah.
Sounds good. Thanks,
right,
Philip.
We'll
thanks
bring
for the food.
In some more food. Thanks for
thank
having me.
Thank you very much.
Wow, more food.
That was outstanding.
And
good stuff.
What were we going to talk about before we went to a break?
Food.
We were going to talk about Maurice Jones-Drew.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
He's
back.
You know, from everything that I've heard, and obviously, John, you've heard, Maurice looked very good in practice Monday. Have not talked to anybody since practice today, but I know that he's been burning the midnight oil, so to speak, on trying to get caught up as quickly as he can. He was sparring a little bit with the media in the locker room today, and not in a negative way.
No, in his way.
In his way, just kind of having fun. So it's good to see him back, and, you know, you can kind of tell he's got a little chip on his shoulder. And
he's always had a chip on his shoulder.
But that's good.
Oh, I agree.
Because he's got to prove the people that said this 38-day holdout will not be good for him, and that it's going to be like Chris Johnson. And Maurice is a guy that takes that with a big, you know, that chip becomes bigger. You know, he's always had a chip on his shoulder because of his size and his draft status and everything. So I like that.
Maurice never takes things with a grain of salt. He can't even find the salt.
You know, Mike Mularkey and a lot of coaches always say, and Mike Mularkey used this to describe Justin Blackman, he likes players with edge. Mm-hmm. and Maurice is a player that has a lot of edge.
He won't be Chris Johnson.
No.
That won't happen. I mean, Maurice will not allow that to happen.
What will he be?
I think he's going to be – I mean, I think once the season gets going, I think he's going to be outstanding. I mean, he's the leading rusher. I mean, even though – I mean, I disagreed with what he did and how it went down, but it doesn't change the fact that I think he's one of the best players in the NFL and the best running backs in the NFL. I mean, he's a great player. I do think it'll affect him, though. I don't think you're going to see Maurice Jones-Drew that we all love and respect as a great player week one. I just think it takes time. With that being said, would I be surprised if he's – I think he'll be productive. I think he'll be productive the first couple weeks. But I think, you know, it's going to take a week, 2 weeks, maybe three on the outside for him to get back to what – to being the best – one of the best running backs in football.
And real risk is, you know, you don't want to rush him back to doing too much. You don't want to get him hurt early just because you're just driving him, you know, too hard early. And I think that's why he's not starting this week. And he's got to work his way back into the lineup. And I think that'll happen organically. When he's ready, you'll know it.
So how does organically and football running back go hand in hand?
Well,
you lost me there, John.
When he's clearly producing, when he's clearly ready, he's supposed to get some third down snaps.
Oh, so you imply just letting it happen naturally?
Yeah, it'll happen naturally.
I just wanted to get the
gist of
that comment.
You'll know it when he's ready.
You know, I'm right over my
head. I like to use those words.
Oof.
Well, how long does it take him to learn the offense?
That'll happen organically, too.
Like these chicken wings they're setting right in front of you right now.
That's a good question. But, you know, the one thing about all offenses, and I talked about this with somebody here in the building today, and that a 34 Bob and a 34 lead is a 34 Bob and a 34 lead no matter what the offensive system is. But some of the formation terminology – maybe snap counts are different, motions and such are described differently. That will take some time, but the core of the plays are pretty much the same.
That's not my concern. My concern is not Maurice knowing how to run 34 Bob or 34 Zone or, you know, ISO. Listen, the guy's a pro. I think what you worry about, and I think why he is cramming, is all your blitz pickups. Mm-hmm. Your passing game, your formations, how they read the defense, you know, different formations are going to give you different looks, you know, what his responsibilities are. I think that's the thing. Now, Maurice is a smart guy, I think, that you're a little bit concerned with. Him playing at a high level is not because he's forgotten how to play or you worry that he doesn't know the offense or anything like that. I think what you worry about, John touched on, how many reps do you give him? How much of a load do you give him early? Because the last thing you need is a soft tissue injury or and something, because he's going to be going at a speed that he has not even tried, even with practice, because of the intensity and everything of the game. So, and he had no time to work up to that. That's why I think it takes a little bit of time to get him back full speed.
And if you look at his numbers, I mean, it's all right here in black and white. Maurice in the month of September, average rushing yards per game, 62.6. October, 69.1. November, 74.7. December, 84.7. So does that...
Yes, tells you everything.
Yeah, you know, will that come into play, you know, out of the gate here and him start even slower than before, you know? So I don't know. It's going to be fun to watch, but I would rather have the Jaguar situation than the Viking situations to where you have, you know, a franchise back. One of them's coming back from an ACL at a little more than 8 months, and another one is coming back from a 38-day holdout. I'd take the holdout.
Well, and don't forget, Maurice doesn't have to play a lot for this running game to be effective early. I mean, the Jaguars have a nice option. You know, they're not desperate to put him in the game for 25 or 30 carries. I don't think anybody doubts that Rashad Jennings, if Maurice wasn't here, I don't think they would be worried about being productive. I think they have the luxury of being able to work him in at the proper pace.
Now, let me ask Tony a question, because Brian, during our radio broadcast, in that Atlanta preseason game, the final one, and we knew that the Jaguars were going to have a certain number of plays based on how they played, and also the offense had a slow start, and all of a sudden, and had a lot of plays. And we saw Rashad Jennings carry the ball, carry the ball, carry the ball, carry the ball. Were you not in the TV booth going, every time Rashad Jennings carried the ball going,
I was saying, what are they doing? I mean, I said out loud, I am shocked that Rashad is getting this many carries because he's going to have the workload. Which leads to the question, Jeff, over under on how many touches Maurice gets week one?
10 to 15, you know, to put a number on it, 12.
Brian?
I was going to say 10, because for the reason that John just enumerated, and that is they're not worried about being able to run the ball. They run right. The ball well.
How many do you think?
I'd say 10 to 12.
Yeah, I think it's 15. 15. I think between – I
don't you have to have a – that means you got to have a lead.
No, I'm talking touches. I think he can.
You got to have a number.
I think 15.
Okay, 15. Okay. Brian?
10.
10.
I think
John?
15.
11.
11? So we got 10, 11, 12, and 15.
Because I think you're going to see him he'll catch a ball or two on a screen, especially if he's going to be the third down back like Mike Walker talked about.
Right.
And so he's going to get a few touches there. And I think this team is still a run-first team. So if you have 40 run plays, which I wouldn't be surprised, 35 to 40 run plays, I can see Rashad getting 20 to 25, Maurice getting 10 to 12, plus a couple catches on screens.
All right, we need a break. We're going to eat the food that Latitude 30, our new home on Wednesday night, has brought. Baselli's already out of the studio, and that's not an easy thing to do. We haven't gotten to the card yet. Joe.
You need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealers today, proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars this week presented by Aetna and fed by Latitude 30 will return on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. This portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Football Fanatics. And if Mr. Sexton is done chewing, he can talk.
Hey, tuna's low fat, right? High in protein, low fat tuna?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That tuna was really, really good.
Have we lost Baselli?
You know, Baselli, he's out of here before we even get through the music, and then he's
Are
back
you
in here.
Did you say low carbs and high protein?
I was kidding.
First one
My
out,
goodness,
last one
that's
back.
That's embarrassing.
Well, yeah, well, what's embarrassing is he walks back in and says, hey, the burgers are good, too. He's got a chicken wrap, a burger, chips. Hey, did you try the wings yet?
He will. Trust me, he will.
All in good fun. We'll be there next Wednesday night.
It's called client relationship.
And you're very good at it.
I like to mingle, make sure everyone feels comfortable.
You like to eat.
I want to make sure they know we appreciate the food.
I never knew that anybody could eat more food than me back in the heyday until we went to Buffalo.
Anchor Bar in Buffalo.
Anchor Bar in Buffalo. Yeah. And Tony Baselli was an absolute pig at the Anchor Bar.
Well, I was challenged. Frankly, I was challenged. I didn't appreciate the challenge. The manhood was tested. That you somehow
you'd have thought it was like a 3-on-1 challenge.
Somehow you thought you could eat more than me, and I had to set the record straight.
You said it.
You were talking trash before we got there. Much like the bowling, I'll set this record straight there as well.
Everybody in the room that night backed away from the table.
Pink high heel bowling shoes and a pink ball for you.
Here's how bad that night was.
You know what? I might wear them just to beat them with them.
Oh gosh,
how about that? You ever been beat by a guy wearing pink high heel bowling shoes and a pink ball?
I mean, I'm pretty open-minded, but when I see a guy wearing pink high heels, I usually go the other way. That's just me. I mean, just me.
We're going to leave that one alone. All I'll say is we walked back from the Anchor Bar to the hotel that night.
I had to.
Not around the corner either.
I might have had if I had stopped and sat down, I might have had a heart attack, cardiac arrest. I had to keep the blood flow moving.
All right, hey, but have you seen this? You know, the story all week has been Jason Witten. What would he do? He had the spleen in the preseason game against the Raiders. And then he today said, I will sign a waiver to play. The Cowboys said, we don't want you to sign a waiver. He's playing.
No.
He's playing tonight.
He is going to play.
He's playing. Jason Witten is playing tonight.
To me, that's not smart. You know, I mean,
why?
If
he was cleared.
You're talking an internal organ.
All right, you can take it out.
I mean,
he was clear.
It's a game,
Jeff. He was cleared.
I know, but I mean, he just got cleared, and he hasn't done anything in practice or anything.
My question is, if you're cleared by the doctor, and you're the player who wants to play. Now, if he wasn't comfortable, I'd be fine if he wasn't playing either. For the record, if he got cleared and he said, "Listen, I'm not ready." Mentally, physically, you know, I don't feel like I'm ready to play the game. No problem. But if you're the player and you've been cleared by the doctor and the doctor says you are cleared to go play football and you want to play, go play.
Well, I'm saying that now as a 45-year-old who knows a lot more than what I was at 22 or 23. I mean, I played with a C5 disc herniation in my neck, a lot of other things, and I did it back then. I'd probably do it if I was
absolutely. I know you would. I mean, I'm just telling you that – And now, there had been nothing wrong either if he'd been cleared and said, I can't do it. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no shame in that. It doesn't question his toughness or anything. But I'm a firm believer, if you get cleared by the doctor and you're a player and you feel like you can go and the coaching staff doesn't feel like you're going to be a liability to the team, then you go play football.
I've written on some really bad hangovers. That's, I mean, if we're talking tough.
You did it.
I did it. I went. I brought it. Never missed a game. All right.
Backed out what?
No, I'm joking.
I was just reading that there are people from Australia that would like to fly here to watch you bowl in pink high heel shoes.
Tony or me?
It says I paid to see Buscelli in a pair of pink high heel bowling shoes.
You guys have reputations. Oh, we've seen him in an orange clown suit before.
I probably look good.
You might.
I might look good in those pink high heels.
To Angie.
Hey, guess what? That's all that matters.
In the end, touche. You've got that argument done.
All right, so last week me and Buscelli had a little argument, discussion, about Justin Blackmon playing in the slot.
Oh, yes, you did.
Hey, go ahead, bring it, because I got some other discussions we had. Because I know this
talk.
Is now coming.
I'm eating.
You're right, and I'm wrong. So go ahead.
Let's just play this clip real quick, and then we'll react.
Follow up on Blackmon. When did you feel like he had caught up?
The first game, the Saints game, where he, you know, we've left him at one position. He got, obviously, you could tell the more comfortable he got it, the more confident he is. Now we are going to move him a little bit inside at some point, try to move him around to get him some, you know, not to a point he's going to lose confidence or not know what he's doing. We're not going to do that to him, but we're going to try to move him around to where we can get an advantage on defenses if we can. So he's not just in one spot every time we line up.
Okay, for the record.
Now, who was that talking just then?
I think that was
John
Mike
Hill,
Mularkey, the head
let's
coach.
Let's just go back to the conversation we had. You were on my – you agreed with me where I said they would move him around, but he would not be the primary slot guy, which is where you started the conversation. You started the conversation is that they'd move Justin inside and put Mike outside. I said that is ridiculous.
I just remember saying they'd move him around. I'm not sure I really sided with you.
I said the same thing. I said they'll move him around to create matchup problems, but he's not going to be the slot receiver like Jeff Loggeman tried to convince us all last week, as well as
– That's moving him inside.
Oh, gosh. There's a difference. Mike Mularkey just said we are going to move him around to create matchup problems.
Can we play that again, Joe? One
no,
more time.
No, let's not do it. I mean,
just
really
– Play it one more time.
Now it's getting ridiculous. But it allows
left
me to
eat one position.
No, back part.
Obviously, you could tell
back part.
More comfortable he got it, the more confident he is.
When did you feel like he had caught up?
The first game, the Saints game, where he, you know, we've left him at one position. He got, obviously, you could tell the more comfortable he got it, the more confident he is. Now we are going to move him a little bit inside at some point.
Inside, let's see. When the wide receivers line up, the inside guy typically is the slot. The outside guy is typically the X and the Z.
What if it strips to one side, the X could be inside?
I had to play that for you this week. When I heard the head coach say that in the press conference, I came in here and I said, Joe.
I wish you could go back and play what you said last week because I said they'll move him around. You're the.
We can do that, too.
I can't find that.
You're the idiot that said, no, he's going to be the starting slot.
I didn't say starting slot. I just said they move. Wouldn't be surprised to see him get moved in the slot.
Now, did you have something to hold over Jeff's head?
I'm not going to do it because I have more class. About
you came in here saying you were
going to. I was going to, but then I thought about it because there were certain guys I said would make the team.
Right.
And Jeff's like, no way, no way, no way. Well,
no, I never
three,
said no way.
Yeah, you did.
No,
all
I don't
three,
use the term no way.
Okay, no chance. All three made the team.
You're right. You have more class than that.
So I'm not going to get into it.
Well, you just did.
No, I'm not going to get into it. I'm not going to get into the specifics.
Mike Harris.
I'm not going to get into the specifics, but sometimes Mr. Know-It-All is wrong.
Oh. No, I don't say no way, but we differed on opinion. Mike Harris, Brandon Marshall.
And Kevin Elliott.
And I thought that all three of those guys would have a chance for practice squad. But I didn't think that they would make the 53. You know, I thought that Mike Harris.
Thought they'd only keep five receivers.
I thought they'd only keep five wideouts. I thought Kevin was a lock for practice squad. But that was also before he caught an 87-yard touchdown pass in the last preseason game and showed his speed when he just separated from everybody. Brandon Marshall, I'm still kind of surprised by. I thought he was a practice squad guy for sure. And
Mike Harris,
I thought that he would be a guy that would get moved to practice squad and possibly be looked at the safety position. because I think he's got probably average to maybe below average speed for a corner. But for a safety, he would be fine. And he showed some really nice tackling ability, particularly in that last preseason game.
And you also wonder if, you know, the injuries at the position didn't influence that some.
Probably. So, I mean, we disagreed on them, but we still believed we were of the same opinion that they would be here.
No, they'd all be here. We did. What role we differed on. Yeah. I thought all three would make the squad. I thought Kevin Elliott was it before he ever had the breakout game. I thought he was on the team. I thought Mike Harris was as well. And Brandon Marshall didn't have a great camp, but I thought he showed enough to keep one of those spots.
I thought Kevin Elliott was probably a practice squad before that final game, and he.
So you think he
I thought he
it
forced
there?
The issue because all of a sudden he had tape that couldn't be ignored.
The only reason I disagree with you a little bit, John, is he was the only receiver outside of Mike Thomas being a returner that had true special team ability. I mean, he was the only
true.
Guy.
Right.
And in that fifth receiver, you want to be a special teams player.
We've hit the bottom of the hour. Joe, take us to news.
Meet. Jaguar season tickets, group tickets, and single game seats are on sale right now. To go all in, call 904-633-2000 or visit Jaguars.com. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, continues after news on Jaguars Radio. Well, Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better. Brian Sexton.
All right, 20 minutes left in the show. And again, next week we will be at Latitude 30, where they couldn't possibly have more food than they brought us.
Well, I must say the Sliders burgers,
outstanding.
That's some of the best. Me and Tony were in agreement. For
wait,
on
you
one item
much.
Tonight,
we're a happy family now.
We are.
We're in agreement that what makes the Slider burger really good is the bread.
Very good fresh bread.
Okay, I agree with that.
The bread is outstanding.
But did you have one of those Banana Foster little nugget thingies?
We'll get there.
Are they going to move the slider around and put him in the slot? Or
they might. That bread is very versatile. They can do a lot with that bread.
There's right. The spoon stirring it up over there. Jimmy
well,
O.
You can take that slider. You can cut it. You can slice it. You can do whatever you
whatever
want
you
to
want
it, but they're going to do it.
Baselli isn't minding because there's good food in front of him. That pizza too, Joe. They got a little everything down there.
If anyone from Latitude 30 is listening, next week I would like a combination of the flat iron steak and a piece of salmon, a little surf and turf.
You can take the player out of the game, right?
Oh, geez.
Tough to
they
take
told
the game
the,
out of the player.
They told us
that's true.
They told us to order.
All right, watch. Tony's, you know, feeding his face.
Yeah. Tom.
Tom has got to be one
Look
of our
talking.
All-time
it's
great fans because he's held for a very long time. Good evening, Tom.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You're right. I did hold for a very long time, but I was not giving up on this one.
All right.
I just wanted to... I've been stewing about this for 2 days now. I was on SportsIllustrated.com yesterday, and I know we complain about how we get no respect and so forth, but what was on there yesterday was goes way beyond that. They had their predictions for 2012, and you guys maybe saw it, but it had, like, several people listed there, like Don King and Peter King and all the different...
Don King?
Whatever his name
oh,
is.
I thought
Don,
the
guy
promoter.
Is. Anyway, all those guys, and anyway, there was a guy on there called Andrew Perloff, and each one of them gave their little spiel on the best and worst teams of 2012-13 season. And of course, Jaguars, as we expected, is in the worst section, about 26 or 20, somewhere in there. But his little dissertation that he said, this is what he said. The first two things I didn't have a problem with because we have to live with that and prove otherwise, but the last one, just way out there, and somebody needs to take these people to task on this. But he says, don't let Blaine Gabbert's preseason fool you. He's still not ready to lead this offense. The Maurice Jones-Drew holdout puts the team's best player at risk of a letdown season. And the owner's questionable commitment to this city will sour the fan base tremendously. What in the world is he talking about, and where do they get this? How can they just put that out there, and nobody holds them to task? If Jones-Drew said something in that news conference the other day, everybody's asking, well, what about this, what about this? If Coach Malarkey says something, what about this, what about this? Who puts these people to task?
So,
what about
Tom, let me answer your question. Very
yes.
good question. Who holds them to task? Well, the people who read their stuff, if you want to read it or not, but the reality is this, and I don't think there's anybody been more outspoken, almost obnoxious at times than me, about attacking the national media and the ridiculous comments they've made and from Twitter and everything else. And his comment about Shad is nonsensical at best. But here's the reality of it. The only way we're going to change it is we got to win football games. And frankly, for me, for one, because now that the regular season's here, I am no longer going to defend
right
and fight back. I think we had to because it's the preseason. You have a long way to go, and it's dangerous to have a snowball effect of perception go against you. But the reality is this. You want to change the perception? If this team wants respect, if this team is tired of people saying they're going to be 1-15 or 2-15 or whatever, or 2-14, whatever the record is going to be, if Blaine is tired of people questioning his ability as a quarterback, if, you know, go down the list, they have to win football games. The only way you get respect in the NFL, whether you're a player mm-hmm. or a team, is by winning, is by being good.
And when you win, it will change dramatically and quickly.
So I don't care whatever that knucklehead's name was. I am unfazed at this point by what people write or say about this team as far as a prediction, because the reality is we now have to put our pads on and shoes on and go out and play.
All right, but the thing that he was pointing out at the end was the commitment that Khan has made to the city, and that seems to be beyond the pale.
Well, it's nonsensical, Brian, but we've said that and we've talked about it. And you want to change that perception as well? Win. I hate to tell you, but reality is what the owner's done and what Mark Lamping's done and what they've done on the business side and the relationships they forged and what they've done in the community and our fan support, we all know what it is here. So guess what? Who cares what they say about that? But what will change that perception as well is when you win.
Because what will also happen if you win is if you win, then more national media comes in, and they actually take the time to talk to people. They start to understand that there are fans filling the seats. They start to understand. They talk to local people. They talk to national people. And the perception changes. But it takes time. In 96, when you guys started winning, it took time, and then all of a sudden you were the hot story. People made fun of Jacksonville in 94, 95 when they got the team. In 96, you started winning. Perception changed for 3 or 4 years. As soon as you don't win in this market, it's going to be a national target. It just is.
You got to win.
Yeah, I'm not going to get fired up on it.
I'm not either. Yeah. You got to win. I mean, it's like
win.
We're in
the
week
change.
Now where you can solve all that. So
yeah, Jeff, your play can speak
Tom,
for itself.
Take a big deep breath and send the guy an email and say we appreciate your commentary on the Jaguars. Just wait and see.
And in time, Shad's commitment, month after month after month, will show, and gradually that sort of thing will look more and more nonsensical, and it will gradually stop.
I wouldn't even waste your time typing an email
right
to the guy. I mean, I just ignore it. I mean, who? I don't care what any of them say. I don't care what Peter – I like Peter. I mean, Peter is a great writer. I don't care what Peter King says.
Right.
I don't care what Adam Scheffner, whatever his name, or, you know, what Clayton or Mortensen. Who cares what any of these guys say at this point? Guess what will speak louder than anything? You go beat the Vikings, you're 1-0.
And you go on to the next week.
All right, let's do this. Let's break, then we'll come back and take a look at the week in on the week that is to be in the NFL, week one. Joe?
Well, you can visit Sonny's and try their new barbecue baskets, the slow smoke pulled and sliced meats basket for just $7.99. Or for just a little more, choose between two other mouth-watering baskets. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue. Jaguars this week, presented by Aetna, returns on Jaguars Radio.
All right, here we go. Final 12 minutes of the show. Kickoff weekend of the National Football League. You guys want to take a look at some of these games?
Yeah, bounce around the league a little bit.
All right. So, obviously, tonight we kick it off. First Wednesday game since the 1940s. Right.
Well, because of the Democratic National Convention, and right. President Barack Obama speaks tomorrow night, so they won't interrupt that.
Absolutely. So Dallas at the New York Giants tonight. Thoughts on the Giants trying to repeat?
I don't know if they're going to repeat, but I think they just absolutely drum the Cowboys tonight. I don't think the Cowboys are very good.
Really?
No.
I think the Giants are the best team in that division. I'm not a big Eagles believer either. I think the Giants will be the best team in that division.
See, I'm a little more warm on the Eagles than you probably are, John, but I think the Dallas Cowboys are – I think they're 8-8.
Yeah. which is what they've been, it seems like, every year. For
yeah,
the last
I don't think
years.
They're very good. I don't think they have the makeup to be a – I don't think they have the makeup in the fourth quarter to beat a team like the Giants and Eli Manning.
Well, the one thing we do know is that they have the personnel to do it, and if they don't, it's the coach's fault.
But, Jeff, we've been saying they've had this great personnel for the last 7 years. Maybe the personnel isn't
– I'm joking around, and it's Jerry Jones.
Oh, good. Right. I'm like, maybe the personnel – have we ever thought about maybe the personnel isn't as good as we think?
Sometimes a team like Dallas, the personnel gets played up because they're on a team like Dallas.
Yeah.
All right, so that's tonight.
When you're 8-8, you're 8-8.
8:30 kickoff. If there was an anti-Blaine Gabbert quarterback out there, clearly it's Andrew Luck. Everyone is championing this young man before he's played – a regular season game. He goes into Chicago. I heard someone say, hey, the Bears better watch out.
I think Andrew Luck gets sacked 6 times, and they get beat by 2 touchdowns.
I think the Bears are pretty good. I agree with that. I think the Bears are very underrated.
And nothing against Luck.
No,
but
I think Luck will be a fabulous player as well sometime.
Their offensive line has
the offensive line is not very good. The defensive line for the Bears is very good. I think Jay Cutler is a underappreciated quarterback. I think Brandon Marshall was a great signing. I think Matt Forte is going to have an outstanding year with the opening up outside.
And a quarterback has to go against things in the regular season that they don't see.
They've got no
at
idea.
All in the
he
preseason.
Has no idea what he's going to see. I think Rod Marinelli, I think Rod's the co-defense coordinator with Lovie Smith or however they do it. I think the two of them are going to dial up some stuff, and I think here comes Julius
but
Peppers.
But Andrew Luck has impressed in the preseason from a decision-making standpoint. We know he's athletic. But, you know, the one thing that I noticed, and I don't watch college football. You guys know that. Don't have time. You watch a lot of NFL, you get filled up on football. And so this is really the first time I've ever watched.
No, not really. I watch both.
So first time I've watched a lot of Andrew Luck.
Right.
And if I had to pick arm talent, would I take Andrew Luck or would I take Blaine Gabbert? I'd take Blaine Gabbert. Honestly believe that. If I'm talking – on arm talent. Okay? I'll take Gabbert.
Well, but define arm talent for me. Is that strength?
Yeah, that's right. But
arm strength?
Yeah, I think.
Or touch?
Yeah.
Okay. You probably take Jeff George over any quarterback who's ever played
yes,
a game.
Yes, I would.
So I'm just saying, I don't think that's – I don't think arm – and you probably wouldn't have picked Peyton Manning. You would pick Ryan Leaf over Peyton Manning if you'd done that. And I'm not saying Blaine is not going to be as good as Andrew Luck. I just don't think that's a very good judgment of whether a quarterback's going to be any good or not.
No, I don't think so either, but I think it says something because that's one of the attributes of a good quarterback is that you have to have some of the measurables or the talent to be able to do it.
Well, I don't know if that's true. I mean, Peyton Manning never had a great arm, and his arm's probably weaker than it's ever been, and I think he's going to have a great year.
Yeah, but back in the day, he had a great arm.
He had pretty good arm.
Drew Brees has never had a big arm.
True.
And had major shoulder surgery, and he has the all-time leading passer in the NFL as far as single season. I mean, the way I judge a quarterback and their arm strength, you have to have enough to make all the throws, but you don't have to have a huge arm. Would that be fair, Jeff? You have to have enough to make the throws.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the bench press test at the combine.
Yeah, how many did you do?
I did 23. I was told anything over 20, you're good.
Yeah.
If you do 20, then they don't care. If you do 20 to 30, they don't care. Unless you do 36 or 37. I was never going to do 36 or 7. I literally did bench press.
What did Don Terry Poe do at the combine
like
this year?
54 or something.
It was a record.
Yeah, I'll say this. I literally did bench press twice from the time I was done with the bowl game until the combine, which is a six-week period. I benched twice during that time because I knew that whether I did it every day, I might be able to get to 27 or 28. And if I didn't do it at all, I was going to get 23.
You might have been the first pick overall if you got 27 or 28.
I doubt it. And I guess what? I'm glad I wasn't. I'm glad I'm here and not Cincinnati. How's that? Worked just fine.
Okay. Philadelphia, Cleveland, the Browns unveil their new quarterback for the 11th time.
That's going to be ugly.
And their new running back, Trent Richardson, appears he's going to play this week.
Coming off of knee surgery, first game really for the rookie.
It's going to be a long year for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, they're not going to be very good. And my guess is Mike Holmgren probably won't be the GM or president or whatever he is by the end of the year.
New owner, obviously.
He got his money. He's fine.
He got a long time.
You don't
time
feel sorry
ago.
For him?
Right. I do not.
St. Louis at Detroit. I mean, that's Detroit.
Sure.
Miami at Houston. That's Houston.
That's going to be ugly, too.
Atlanta at Kansas City.
I think Kansas City beats Atlanta.
Do you really?
Yeah, I think Kansas City is going to be better than anyone thinks. They have a lot of talent, and they've drafted high. They were very injured last year. That was a team that was riddled with injuries from the beginning. I think Kansas City, I think Atlanta's going to be a playoff team, but I think Kansas City wins opening day in Arrowhead.
I'm picking Smitty.
I hope Smitty wins. I'm just, if I was going with my gut, I'd go with Kansas City.
Here you go. RG3, the other star rookie
quarterback. I'm doing that game.
Oh, you are?
Yeah,
right.
I'm doing the Saints.
So you can't pick it.
So, according to ESPN, I'm not allowed to pick it.
Right, okay.
No, but I can't pick it. I can care less.
All right.
What am I going to do? Hey, you picked it.
It's Drew Brees at home. You will see that raucous crowd that we thought we'd see there in the preseason.
I think you will see a game that is very difficult for a young quarterback to win in that stadium.
You bet. Against that quarterback.
Hard to keep up.
I don't think they keep up. It might be close a little bit early. I think RG3 probably makes a couple big plays with his feet and makes some highlights. But I just don't see the Saints losing that game.
All right. How about this one? Buffalo at the New York Jets.
I think the Buffalo Bills get after the Jets. I think the Jets are one of the – I think they might be – well, they're not, they'll be – Miami's the worst team in that division, but they're the third – they're third-place team in that division. I don't think the Sanchez v. Tebow experiment will work. I think it sets back Mark Sanchez. I don't think it's fair to the kid. And they have zero playmakers outside. Santonio Holmes is a two at best. He's a nice accessory, but he's not the guy. They're not very good up front on the offensive line. I just think I see them struggling. I think the Bills beat them.
Bills started very strong last year too. Remember? And,
yeah, 5-0.
So
I'm happy for Tim Tebow. I'm glad he's in New York.
Absolutely.
I think he's going to do well. I think he's going to be a starter by the end of the year.
How about this one? We're going to find out about Jake Locker early. New England is at Tennessee to open the season.
I think I'll win.
Right. Seattle at Arizona.
Seattle.
San Francisco at Green Bay. That's
great
a nice
game. Maybe the
start.
Best game of the weekend.
Is that Sunday night or Monday night?
That's
4 o'clock Sunday.
No, it's a 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon game.
Great game.
Maybe the best game of the weekend. I think Green Bay is they're my pick to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think they're the best team in the NFC because they have the best quarterback.
I'll bet they wind up winning that game by double digits.
With the most weapons. And I think San Francisco takes a step back this year.
Carolina's at Tampa Bay. Pittsburgh at Denver is the Sunday night game. Peyton
that's
Manning.
To me, that's a toss-up. But I give the edge to the home field.
I think Denver wins that game.
The
Steelers have some questions going on.
Yeah, they do. Listen, that offensive line is
Yeah,
okay.
They do, but they're at home.
No, Denver's
at home.
Denver. Oh, it's at home.
Yeah,
it's in Denver.
It's in Denver.
Ah, okay. I thought you said at Pittsburgh.
No,
Home team wins.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just – That defense. I mean, listen. We said last year.
James Harrison even gonna play?
I don't know if he is or not. He came off the.
I know Ryan Clark is not.
Ryan Clark's
altitude.
But he's off the. Harrison's off the PUP list. He's off the PUP list. So I don't know if he's gonna play or not. But that remember last year at the beginning of the year, everyone said that's an old defense because they looked old. And they ended up being very good still, top five. But they're a year older. And.
Well, they're actually younger because they cut a few of the guys.
But my point is they're stars.
Right.
Troy
right.
Polamalu. James Harrison are older. Hampton, Casey Hampton in the middle, older. James Ferrier, is he still there, I think?
Nope, he's gone.
The other one.
He's older, but he's not there.
Yeah, he's not there. But anyways, nonetheless, I think Peyton Manning gets his first victory in Denver.
Doubleheader Monday night, Cincinnati at Baltimore.
I'll be at that one as well.
Baltimore.
I think Baltimore is really, really good.
Baltimore's outstanding.
I think Joe Flacco takes a big step this year.
I don't think Baltimore.
Year, it's a good time.
I don't think Baltimore will be as good on defense, but I think they're going to be a lot better on offense. I think
if I had to pick a Super Bowl team in the AFC, that'd be
yeah, because I think without Terrell Suggs, I could see Baltimore going back instead of being the second or third best defense, like seventh or eighth.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're going to be so good on offense. Ray Rice is outstanding. Torrey Smith, second year player. Don't forget about that. He had
blazing
a nice year,
speed.
And he's a more complete receiver. We saw that running the underneath routes in the preseason. I think Flacco has a great year.
Chargers at Raiders. I guess that's the standard now on the West Coast, the doubleheader, huh?
Yeah, Carson Palmer has not looked great in the preseason looking at his numbers. I just think Phillip Rivers, he traditionally has always played well against the Raiders.
But
not
they always
of late,
start. They always start
of late.
Slow. I go Raiders because of the slow starting Chargers.
And they're an interesting team. The Chargers, their window might be closed. It's hard. They're a hard team to predict this year.
No Ryan
and
Mack
the running
right.
Back's probably not going to play. He's got had the broken
but
shoulder.
I love Phillip Rivers. I mean, they do have a quarterback.
And they lost.
It's hard to say
Jackson.
The window's closed.
It's
but
to lose a big play.
Yeah, who's
going to
be the guy? Who's going to be their guy outside?
Well, Malcolm Floyd was going to be the guy, but he's They put him on the designated IR spot, I thought.
Right.
Antonio Gates is the healthiest he's been in a long time, so that's always nice.
Well, and they grabbed that the kid from from New Orleans.
Robert Meacham?
Yeah, Meacham went out there, so.
Yeah, and I don't know how great they are defensively either.
All right.
Well, I like the Raiders.
Tony, did you get enough to eat?
I'm going to get more.
All right, good deal.
Next Wednesday night, we are definitely with Philip, Amanda, and the crew.
Thanks, guys.
Latitude 30. Really appreciate it. We'll see you there, folks, across from the Avenues Mall on Phillips Highway. Have a great night.